From our New York studios up in Harlem, let's go inside her story with Jackie Reed. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Tom, Sybil, and Jay. Tom, with this debate in the presidential election, the most recent police shootings of black men are not making headlines anymore, but the cases of Terrence Crutcher and Keith Lamont Scott are far from over. Well, this morning, I'm talking to a former police sergeant about the latest with both cases and the possibility of the return of stop and frisk under a Trump presidency. I'm going inside her story with former LAPD Sergeant Cheryl Dorsey. Tom, Sergeant Dorsey spent more than 20 years in law enforcement and wrote a book about her experience with the police called The Creation of a Manifesto, Black and Blue. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. Good morning, Sergeant Dorsey. How are you?
Good morning, Jackie. I'm great. How are you?
Glad to have you here. Let's start with Keith Scott. Now, police released two videos 2 days ago, one body cam, one dashboard. Officers claim Scott had a gun and they had cause to shoot him. His wife says there was no gun and that he had a brain injury. What do you see in that video?
Well, you know, when I look at the video, it's very problematic because the police chief alluded to the fact that there was some kind of threatening movement that Mr. Scott made, some type of furtive action that caused the officers to fear for their safety. And they made a big deal about the fact that he had this ankle holster. So right. If we understand that he has an ankle holster, that means the gun is in the ankle holster. And, you know, I don't know how familiar you are with firing a weapon, but certainly bending down and grabbing a gun out of an ankle holster is not something that's easily accomplished. And we see him walking backwards, which is also kind of off-putting. If you're being given directions by an officer and you're going backwards, you're kind of looking over your shoulder, as we see Mr. Scott doing, to make sure that he maintains his footing, I'm assuming. And after three steps of doing exactly what it is they're telling him, they fire on him. And so that video that was released does exactly what the police chief says, which is not definitively show him doing the things that we were told it would show, which then means that now we've got to rely on the words of the officers. And that, too, is problematic.
Well, you've worked many crime scenes in your career. You know, everyone is talking, or a lot of people are talking about the fact that in the video that Keith Scott's wife shot, you don't really see anything on the ground. But photographs that police released show what they say, you can't really make out the object that well, to be a gun lying near the body. Does that bother you, the discrepancy of what we see initially? Or could they have kicked the gun out from near his body to the place where they took the photograph?
Well, I try to base my opinions on facts, and I'm not really a conspiracy theorist, and I've seen the videos that are on social media where there's something that looks like a gun or it looks like a glove, depending on your interpretation.
Yeah.
I've seen a female witness who says that it wasn't the black officer that shot him, but it was the white officer. And so what I know, based on my years of experience, is that officers can only use the amount of force necessary to overcome resistance. And we didn't see that on that video. We don't see Mr. Scott raising his hands in a threatening manner. And the fact that he had a gun in an open carry state in and of itself is not problematic for the officers. It's not criminal activity occurring, as the police chief said in his statement, because the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in North Carolina says that someone carrying a gun does not give the police the ability to stop and deal with them. It's not sufficient probable cause. And then we heard the police chief further say that he had marijuana. So when I heard that, I thought maybe there was a drug deal that these undercover officers were witnessing as they sat in their car and on surveillance. Now we find out it was just a joint. Everything that they say about this encounter is problematic. They saw him rolling a joint. That happens in your lap if you're sitting in a car, not in the air. How did the officers see that? It seems like they're trying to manufacture and craft a situation that's going to fit this shooting that should have never occurred.
Why did they listen to his wife? And I know you deal in fact. I just wonder your thoughts on if you were on the scene there, if you would have paid attention to his wife saying that he had a brain injury, and if someone's loved one could have been used to kind of diffuse the situation.
Don't they do that?
Well, because they escalated that situation, right? And I always say if sense were common, everybody would have it. They did not use common sense from start to finish. And so by the time the wife started yelling, because everybody's yelling, right? And so
right.
She's emotional. She's excited. The officers are amped up because, remember, they were sitting in their car on surveillance. I believe Mr. Scott was oblivious to them and may have been getting in and out of his car, and that's how they first saw this gun in this ankle holster. And so they already knew that he had a gun, and when they come back from the video we see, the first thing we hear is, drop the gun, drop the gun. Well, he's sitting in a car. How do you drop a gun when you're sitting in a car? That's nonsensical. And then by the time he steps out of the car, I'm sure that these officers were amped up, adrenaline is rushing, and they had tunnel vision. They may have been totally oblivious to the commands that the wife were giving to them, because each of them were shouting commands to Mr. Scott.
What does this say about the training that police are given or that they go through in situations like this in order to balance the adrenaline as opposed to the common sense, as you say, and to make a situation end up in a very calm and rational way?
Well, again, you cannot teach common sense, and it's not something that you can read in a book. You either have it or you don't. And I'm of the opinion that if you don't have common sense and good judgment, if you're not able to relate to that community that you deal and look at that person as, that could be my brother, my father, my sister, that could be my child, then you don't treat them that way. And so I'm concerned because either these officers are not well trained, because certainly you don't leave your post to go deal with occurring criminal activity like they did without engaging a supervisor, because I think had a supervisor been there on scene, things may have gone very different. Or had they just maintained their position and requested uniformed officers to come in and deal with Mr. Scott and just sit and watch, things may have happened very differently. And so what we're seeing, I believe, is that officers that are either not trained, ill-suited, or are just drunk with power, because they do what they do. They try to make us think that something different occurred, there was something that we didn't see that would justify it. And then the big thing is that there's no accountability for those officers who violate law and or policy that ends in great bodily injury or death. The citizens,
let me ask you about Terrence Crutcher.
Tremendous money, and the officers suffer no consequence.
Really quickly, Sergeant, you think Terrence Crutcher, Betty Shelby was charged with first degree murder in that shooting. You think she'll be convicted? Because in a lot of these cases, police are not convicted. Do you think she will be?
I hope she will be, but I'm not convinced that she will be. And here's why: because great deference is given to what a police officer says. And when we say something, people by and large want to believe us. And that's why it was so important in the case of Walter Scott that there was video that refuted Michael Schlager saying he had grabbed his taser in North Charleston, South Carolina, and tried to use him. And as is in the case of Sam DeBose, when Ray Tinsing said he tried to run him over with his car, we have video that refutes the officers who are saying things that are not true. And even that is not enough.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Former LAPD Sergeant Cheryl Dorsey. The book is The Creation of a Manifesto, Black and Blue. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you.
Great job.
Yeah, she broke that down.
Yeah.
Didn't.